ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Krishna then this element of penance might one wonder why this is so important. Because it generally we think of penance, we think of something very dry, something very harsh, you know, something very unbearable. But, you know, generally we know that it does give a good result, but you know, the process itself is very difficult. But that's because we have basically one definition of penance. You know, that just means it should be something physically troublesome. Right? Generally, when that comes to mind. But the principle on which penance is based means that you are performing an activity that is for, creating a favorable situation or favorable interaction with others. That's actually what it is. Right? You know what I'm saying? Just like you can say food, and then food you'll think of what you call food, but there's so many varieties of food. Food just means something that basically nourishes and maintains the body so that, you know, and you get your energy from that you can perform your activities, right? So it may be grass, it may be leaves, it may be vegetables, you know, it may be, you know, mud in the water, whatever it is, it's something that does that. Does that make sense? Okay. So penance then, the element is that by performing this activity, it will make the situation in which relationships I am engaged in will be benefited, or the relationship itself will be benefited, or both. Right? Does that make some sense? Okay? Then you can apply on that, okay, somebody wants to benefit themselves by becoming very powerful, this or that, so they stand on their toes for 10,000 years. Yeah. So that can be done. Right? Then that kind of penance falls in, because you see you're trying to create for yourself in that way something favorable. But actually anything that is done according to the Shastra, right, is actually penance. Does that make sense? Because, in other words, if you restrict yourself in any way for some betterment, right? It's austerity. Does that make sense? Because otherwise you could do anything. You just let the mind run wild and whatever happens, and that's what you do, right? But that's called untrained, right? That we wouldn't call a cultured person. A cultured person is known because they are restricted. They restrict what they do. They won't just do anything. Right? And so that enhances our relationships. That enhances the situations in which we can have those relationships. It enhances the results that we get from those relationships. Does that make sense? So, therefore, Krishna says, penance and I are non-different. Right? Because Krishna, he works in certain ways just for the, so that there is, everything becomes nice for relationships. Right? In other words, you look at it, Krishna's God, he can do anything. But he doesn't. He does things according to the scriptures. He says that in Gita, very clearly. I act according to scriptures. Of course, he writes the scriptures, but he acts according to it. Right? Because by acting according to that, then relationship is enhanced. In other words, why did Krishna create the scriptures? So that it would create, so that the scriptures would define the situations in which individual living entities can find what they want, can gain what they want. Does that make sense? Right. So that's why it's there, and because Krishna wants to interact with the living entities. Right? It means to him being God is not the big thing. You know what I'm saying? Isn't it? You don't wake up in the morning and go, look in the mirror and go, wow, I'm 30 years old and I'm a man and, you know, I'm in charge of this. You don't do that. That's just normal. And then from that, then you want to do this, you want to do that, you want to do so many things. Isn't it? So, him being God, that's normal. He doesn't have to prove it. He is. I don't have to prove, yes, I'm 30 years old, you know, get out my passport. See right here? You know, you're looking in the mirror. Right here, see? Right there. I'm talking to you. Yeah, is that right? You know? You don't have to do that. Does that make sense? Because you're comfortable with it. Okay, let's say 29.
Yes.
Okay, 29. Sorry. Okay. So, so he doesn't have to prove his godness to himself. Now and again, just for the demon's satisfaction, he does it. Right? He lets them know who's boss. But that's also just for to watch the reaction. You know, because that's the way they relate to him, so that's the way he responds, right? Because he responds how you relate. You think he's a big nasty guy, then he relates to you as a big nasty guy, right? The gopis see him as somebody very pleasant, you know, very adorable. So that cute, so he responds like that. Mother Jashoda, he's this little boy. He responds like that. Does that make sense? So he's not doing because he has to prove himself. He is himself, right? Isn't that what the thing is? I is what I is, right? So okay, getting a little too weird today. So So for him, it's the interaction that's important, and because we've been expanded only for that purpose, otherwise we can also share in the Atmaramaness, right? God's Atmarama, and we're part of that. You know? He's complete and we're all there, and so it's all happening. So that's fine. But he's expanded so that there's interaction. So therefore these fundamental principles of interaction Krishna has therefore created. They're natural, they're inherent. He doesn't have to sit around and think about them, you know, because he's perfect and whatever he does is perfect. So he's created the most perfect situations to interact. Does this make sense? Therefore, by following those principles, then relationships become good. They're at their best. And the experience will be the best. The situations for relationships will be the best. The relationships themselves, the activities, the results gotten, the experiences will all be the best. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So that's what we want. Right? That's what everybody wants. So Krishna says, you do the penance and you'll get it. Right? We have this idea, it'll be the same all the time. But even God doesn't run like that. Right? Even in Vaikuntha, where everything is pretty regulated, still he goes to bed and gets up. you know, and has a time for a meal and a time for music and a time for court and a time for... Does that make sense? So even he's creating the variety, just being, tasting, yes, I am God. You know, it's not so important all the time. Does this make sense? So the variety and all these things, that is important. People like that. We don't like the same thing all the time. Right? You know, you have two people, they're very comfortable being with each other, always are complaining they never get enough time together, but, you know, okay, go on a vacation. Then they're, you know, 1 week straight in the same hotel room together with no one else. And then, hey, let's go out for a walk. You know, let's go out. There's people out there. You know, there's, you know what I'm saying? So this interaction with others is important. So therefore, for Krishna, this is essential. Therefore, you do your penance, it will enhance all it will enhance you yourself, because the better you are, the better your relationships are, right? Isn't it? You know, if you're a nebbish, then you're not going to get much out of relationships, right? But if you have some qualities, have some abilities, have some character, the more there is, then the more people appreciate. Isn't it? There's more facets to your personality to which to interact. Right? So then, the more we're able to accommodate all these different aspects of society, the broader it is we can interact. You know what I'm saying? The broader we can interact. So Krishna then establishes all these things so that we follow them. By following them, whatever our own personal, our own person, our own, and the personal situations we're in will improve. Right? Isn't it funny? It's just a lack of, you know, lack of proper knowledge. You know. So, and then the relationships that we have with others, because of our ability to work within them, will be at their best. Does this make sense? Right? Because for any austerity, there's a goal, right? It means that for any activity, there's a goal. There's nothing anybody does in the cosmic creation that is not goal-oriented. You understand? The question is who are you pleasing with this goal? Is it yourself or God? Right? But everybody does it because this will please Krishna, or it will please herself, or it'll please someone else, which will get me some benefits that will please me. Right? Does that make some sense? Yeah? So that means then the austerity is being done for a purpose. And that purpose, then we can put it more selfish or less selfish. Does that make sense? It can be that if I don't see the direct thing that I'm going to get out of it, then let's say I'm going to get control or I'm going to get enjoyment. These are generally the ones that we target. Right? I'll control the universe and then I'll exploit it. Right? So generally austerity is done for these two things, control and enjoyment. So now, that's not the problem. The problem is whose enjoyment it is. Right? Just like, let us take something just on control. In the marriage ceremony in Panigrahanam, then the husband gives a... No, excuse me. Is it in there? Yeah, I think so. Unless it's in Driti. But in any case, the point is that the husband is blessing the wife that may you be the controller of his father, of his mother, of his family members. So now, for someone who's into controlling, they'll think, oh, this is very nice. But what does that mean? We're controlling because we have a bigger rolling pin than anybody else? Or, you know, we're more grumpy than anybody else? Or, you know, we can be more silent and make it more uncomfortable than anybody else? Or, you know, what is this control? control is that by the character and the pleasantness, just the affection that's generated from the interaction, you control all those people. So they're very happy that you've become part of their family. They feel very benefited. They're very happy with their relationships. They feel very comfortable. The trust is there. The intimacy is there. Does this make sense? This is control. What is more control? Okay. If you control somebody's body, that's a general thing. That's because we're generally pretty gross. Then we figure we're in control. But then you always have the guys that, okay, you know, you can kill me, but you won't get my feelings. You know, I'm still going down, you know, jai, whatever it is I'm into. Right? So they can't get their spirit. But the point is, that's not a big thing. You know, you can squash a bug, you know, it means these things are easy enough. But the point is you're on your own, you're alone in that. You're controlling, but you're alone. There's no relationships. You just feel good, I'm in control. Right? Does that make sense? But more is that you control the person, the subtle body. Right? And if it's by fear, this and that, but they don't like it, but you control it. So it's a bit of an interaction. You know? But it only enhances your feeling of control. But when it's interactive, that they like the control, they like being controlled because of the affection, that's the most powerful. Right? And that's what God's looking for. Right? So, for those who can't handle that, then, or they handle it to a certain degree, then there's Vaikuntha. But Krishna is looking for complete control. I mean, or completely being controlled. But that means you have to have people that are so affectionate that there's never any time they'll exploit. Right? Because if you have affection, you won't exploit. There's no affection, you'll exploit. Does that make sense? So the affection is so great, there'll never be any exploitation. There's nothing. Because even in Vaikuntha, you have the element of liberation. There is the element that I like this. You know? I like being not in the material world. Or I like being having the same form or opulence as being the same planet or being a close associate. I like that. Which is fine, because it's connected to Krishna. But the element where if Krishna doesn't want, you know, us around or this or that, then if that makes him happy, that's what we want to do for him. That's a different level. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that kind of penance is what Krishna is looking for. That completely giving up means, in other words, you're giving up something. Okay, for 10,000 years I'm going to stand on my toes. So you give up some. You could do a lot of things in 10,000 years, but you don't. You stand on your toes, right? So you've restricted yourself, and then you get benefit from that, right? But this restriction is, you know, it's how is it going to necessarily please others, right? Does that make some sense? So Krishna is looking for that penance where it's complete, where you're just simply working for the benefit of someone else. So actually penance means what are my restrictions that enhance things for someone else, not me. Because if others are benefited, naturally I'll be benefited. Right? Does that make sense? So that is actually what penance is. The problem is penance gets this other kind of connotation because it's done for ourself. Or it may be self-realization. That's okay. That one people don't so much, because those ones generally are less harsh. If they're actually sincerely trying to be God-conscious, then generally no one, they take them as saintly. But the people who want control of the universe, you know, control of the economics or social or political, generally that's not seen in as good a light. Right? You know what I'm saying? So then if you're going to perform the austerity, if you're performing it that it actually is for someone else's benefit, that's nice. So that's what the whole Vedic culture is for, is how to benefit everybody else by knowing who you are, sticking to that so that others can therefore recognize who you are, and that makes it easy for them, right? It means you want to interact with somebody, but if you can't figure out who they are, what their status is, or how they interact, you're not very comfortable, right? So you have a particular thing that you do. Everybody's comfortable with that because it's standard. You know what their stations are, and you know how you should relate to them, right? Because those, all these different stations are made according to the, you know, psychophysiological nature. It's what that particular person is good at, and it's the way that they actually like to be related to. Does that make sense? Yes.
Where is that kind of information available? Because we seem to have like a blanket approach quite often. You know, you're the Karmis, and we've got the philosophy, and we're inviting you, and it can be quite affronting sometimes, and almost have the opposite effect. So, how can we become educated in how to relate to individuals?
How to relate to individuals. Means you have somebody who are, okay, here's the Karmis, we're devotees, we have the philosophy, we know. But so therefore, if that's the case, that is the tattva, okay? But what is your, if you apply it, the problem comes is not in the philosophy, because even they'll say, okay, we're just common, we're laymen, and you are, you know, practicing spiritualists, so naturally it's understood you'll have know something more than them, right? So that's not the problem. They don't have a problem with that generally at all. Right? They may have a problem with authority, so they would rather work it out themselves, but they don't mind approaching or getting knowledge and then taking it and putting it into their own words and then applying it for their own determination rather than someone told them, and therefore that's the good thing to do. But in other words, you want spiritual knowledge, you go to spiritual people. That's so. Does that make sense? So that's actually not the problem. But devotees will take that as a problem sometimes. The problem is that, okay, now let's translate this into actual action. So that means rasa, because so there's going to something's going to go on. So if you are in that position, then what is your duty? And what is their position? So how are you supposed to relate to them? Because you can take by tattva. Yes, the two-year-old kid, three-year-old kid is not. They have the potential of being smart, but you can't say they're smart. They don't know what to do. They're completely uneducated. You know, they're a complete madhouse. They're a disaster, you know. So that's the tattva. But how do you relate to them? As a disaster, as a write-off? No, as someone who needs to be helped and guided and trained and supported, and their shortfall of what they don't know in the social interactions, you make up the difference. Right? That's where the shortcoming comes in the preaching. Because we learn it by tattva, we try to apply it as tattva. But there's an art in application. You know, it's like you have wood, you have nail, you have hammer. So the hammer hits the nail. You know, and you can say, okay, this and this and so many things, but it's that delivery that's going to make the nail go in or bend or fly off, or you're going to miss altogether. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. And if it doesn't, then can we say it's the nail's fault? Right? Or it's the wood's fault or the hammer's fault? Or no. So that's the point. If we talk to the Karmi and he feels basically unimpressed by it and or even disturbed by it, whose fault is that? And who do we generally blame? The dirty Karmis. Okay? But whose problem actually is it? It's ours because we're not understanding what the relationship is. If we're taking the thing of being superior, then that puts it into the parental rasa. So that means, as a teacher, you have to figure out how to get the point across to the student. So it means you have to say things that will relate to them. Like we give the example of Prabhupada talking to Graham Hill, who was like the Formula One champion of Britain at the time. He spoke to him about cars for 20 minutes. He didn't come in and, we're the spiritualists and you're just some, guy that, gets out in the car and runs around the track going vroom vroom all day. It's a matter of, here's a living entity, somehow or another, this point in time in the, musical chairs, he just happens to be, the Formula One racer. Next year someone else will be in that and he'll be something else, So, just where it is today. Does that make sense? So, then it's a matter of how to get where they're interested to hear. They want to know. Because that's the element of the teacher. They have to be able to create the desire to know. Of course, the student has to apply that. It's not that it's always one-sided. So then applying that, then there's inspiration, and it goes and it continues, and it generates the activity, the endeavor, the results like that. So it's not understanding what your relationship is that makes the problem. The tattva is not the problem at all. Like that. No one has a problem that, I would doubt it, I mean there'll be some, maybe other spiritualists, but most people would consider that, Hare Krishnas are, kind of spiritual people and no philosophy. And if you had something you wanted to ask, you could go to them, but the problem is their attitude is such, we don't. Right? But it's not that the principle that they know stuff. I mean, I heard about, I'm not sure when it was. I can't remember if it was late 80s or early 90s. There was a whole lot of these different, how in America they love doing polls and stuff like that and tests and like that. And I'm not sure they did one because I think the government was starting to find there's a problem with, because of lack of religion, people are going weird. And it's really hard to maintain discipline. So then they want to identify, I think, kind of where people were at. So they did this big kind of, poll. And that I heard of is actually millions of people that said they're Hare Krishnas. Millions. We wouldn't even know about them. Why it is? Because they accept it. And in that it came out that of anybody, it was basically unanimous that if you want to know philosophy, we know it the best. Like that. So that was, we got top marks on that. But where we got the lowest mark of any religious group was an attitude. It was like, these guys got the best philosophy, but no one can handle interacting with them. Right? So that was, very revealing. Of course, we're pretty good at, just stupid karmis, so and then move on, and then like that. Does that make sense? That's why we talk so much. It may sometimes wonder why somehow or another everything we talk about comes back to the cultural aspect, because the cultural aspect is where it'll be applied. Because basically, the devotees are all convinced of the philosophy. That's, I don't think there's a devotee who's not, even the most fringe devotee, still they're quite solid in philosophy. But it's in the cultural, it's in the application, which is the culture, where there's some weakness. Because if you check, generally anybody's complaint, it'll always come back to being cultural. Like that. And any problems that are there are cultural. We don't, generally we think of cultural meaning, it's either yogurt or it means, Wagner or, something like that. But culture here just means what is the proper etiquette. What is the proper... And here, etiquette means the science of understanding personal relationships. That means, who am I, and who are others, and what is our relationship? It's a science. It's not rocket science, but it's a science. Right? And so, therefore, if that is approached, things work. Because the reality of how we should behave is important. You know? People don't have a problem that we go out. People don't have that because that's what they expect. We're laymen. We're caught up in what we do. If I do have an interest, it's actually nice to know where I could go or even be approached or given an opportunity in a pleasant way. There's a devotee in America who would preach in prisons. And nobody goes to prisons, right? You know, or if they go there, you know, generally it's different, you know, maybe patronizing or maybe hellfire and brimstone or something. So when the devotees go and distribute prasad and do a nice program like that, then they're impressed because nobody cares for them. They're the outcasts of society. So here's somebody who's coming into this place where they are and trying to do something nice for them. It's not, you know, you're not coming in there all preachy, you're just coming in there, you know, trying to do something they can relate to and, you know, like that. And talk about topics that are, you know, important to them. And so then one of the times when the devotee was leaving, then one of the main, you know, it's probably in there for, you know, like 400 lifetimes, you know, one of those kind of guys. You know, older, you know, runs the whole show kind of guy. He came up and shook the devotee's hand. One of the devotee's hands, you know, like that, nicely. And the devotee found that there was one of these, you know, solid gold Rolexes had been put into his hand. But it's done in such a way because nothing can change hands between the criminals and the guests. So he was so touched that somebody would go to the trouble to come there and see them who are, you know, going to be there for the next million years, that he just gave that. You know? So it's, you know, and especially in those days, I heard about this, it was like maybe 15 years ago. So that was worth a lot of money then. So then the whole point is it's not that the karmis aren't happy or even looking like that. It's just a matter of being available. Right? You know, it's like, I think it was, three or four years ago. We were on the, you know, one of the tubes in New York. Addressed as a devotee. You know, very strange phenomena, but you know, it does happen sometimes. You know, your jeans were in the wash, you know, so you couldn't, you know, dress up, so you know, you had to just wear the devotional clothes, right? So there we were on the whatever it was, the A train or something. And I think I went out in 2 days, and in 2 days I had two people come up to me. You know, it's kind of like, where are you guys? I don't see you anymore. You know, we used to be out and doing Harinam, and we don't see you anymore, right? And there's probably way more devotees in New York, in Manhattan, sitting there than there were in those days when they did see the devotees. Right? You know, it's just like, I think it was in St. Louis, there was like five devotees, right? And there's all these, I think on Sunday there are these holidays, there's all these things happening throughout the city, and they happen at different times, so the devotees just hop in the van, go down to one, do Harinam, and then run over to the next one when it starts the next one, and people go around also to all these. So then, you know, it's kind of like by the afternoon, by the third or fourth time, they bumped into the devotees, and the citizen says, you know, how many ever had 1,000 of you guys here? You know, so everywhere I go, you guys are there, right? There was only five devotees, right? So like that. Then, you know what I'm saying? There was only, you know, a few handful of devotees in the temple and a couple living outside, but now there's probably hundreds and hundreds there, but nobody sees them. And so it's kind of like that. And that, another person, you're just riding there, and I'm talking with the other devotee, and you know, we're smiling, we're happy, right? New Yorkers don't smile, aren't happy. It's the number one no-no. You smile, then someone may come up and try to take advantage, you know. I think you're spaced out or something. But here they can see you're smiling because you're happy, not because you're spaced out. So then comes up, and somebody just asks us, says, is there something that you guys do that I can do? You know? Like that. They just want to know. I mean, you guys are happy. What do you guys, what's going on here? You know, can I do it? You know, it's like, you know, so they're looking. You know? The point is where are we? That's the thing. Because then it's a thing, oh, if we come out and it's too preachy and this and that. But that's because you're still going out with tattva. You go out with all your new agey, touchy-feely, nice, great. If it works in those fields, but you want to make it very broad, then it's a matter of who are we? Right? So how do we... identify ourselves. Does that make sense? And we're comfortable with it. Right? Nobody wants to follow someone who's not comfortable with who they are. Right? Number one, if you want to be cool, that's number one thing. Is if you're not comfortable with yourself, you can't be cool. Right? And people who are comfortable with themselves, that's who others who are not comfortable with themselves try to emulate. Right? So why don't people follow the devotees? Because the devotees aren't comfortable with themselves. Maybe on the personal, but not on the social. Right? You know what I'm saying? You go to London, right? London today, right? 2006, London, right? You can't say it's really like a small, out of the way kind of backwards place. I mean, it depends on the perspective, of course. You know, if you're sages at Naimisharanya, then most definitely. But if you're taking, you know, so-called modern, sophisticated, educated man, probably hard to say that it wouldn't be as good a cement jungle as anywhere else, right? You know? You walk down the street, there are tons of ladies walking around in burqas. I mean, underneath those burqas, they got, you know, low-cut jeans and, you know, everything like that. But they're out on the street with their, you know, shmatas on their heads and this and that. And they have no problem. And they drive around in their Mercedes and they move around and they do everything and they walk on the street and they're part of the society there. They're part of the scene. Right? Like that. You got them from all over. And they dress, and people just go, oh, there's a Muslim. Right? So, and they have no problem with it. So, why is it that, no, but we're in the modern, and it's different, and what's different? A priest walks down the street, what does he dress in? He's got this funny black kind of like billowy, you know, I don't know, it's not even a shirt. I guess it's a shirt. You know, it's like this, I don't know, maybe lots of elephants in those days or something. They made them for elephants and they had them left over from the... Then they decided, hey, we could wear them, we could save money, and it caught on. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But it's very monstrous shirt. Nobody wears that, right? Very distinctive. Right? There's no problem, right? You go to New York, Canal Street, it's all Hasids down there and that, and they making tons of money and they're doing quite well and they're there and they're, you know, that they're, you know, little sikhas and, you know, they're Harinam chudders and, you know, the Brahmin threads and all that, and they're quite happy. Right? And they're just part of the scene. People know who they are, but that's the thing. If you wanted to know, you can walk over there and ask them. Right? But most don't go over and ask them, right? Because they're known for religion, not for philosophy. Right? We're known for philosophy, not religion. Right? Does that make sense? Is that okay? So, the whole idea, that's why the whole Varnashram, the Pancharatrik system, the Bhagavat system, are presented so much, right? So even the philosophy comes through that medium in the Puranas, because that's where you're going to apply it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like this. You take a simple thing, you know, like, the husband is the senior to, or the authority over the wife, okay? And Prabhupada constantly says it through the books. Now, in all the examples of interactions between husband and wife in the whole Bhagavatam, do we ever find any kind of like macho masculine lording it over? One example? In their dealing with their women? You ever heard of it? Mahabharata? Right? No. So, but has that ever caught on with anybody? How many men have ever noticed that? Right? You could probably put one hand behind your back and comfortably count. Right? Does that make some sense? So this is the whole point. It's given through this medium so you see how it's applied. Because knowing it's great, but applying it's also important. Does that make sense? So that's why this medium is given, so it's there. And we stress it only because it's being somehow or another avoided. I mean, very much. It means there are certain words from the Varnashram vocabulary that are, you know, considered politically incorrect, and everybody, ooh, you know, when you say them. So, what's going on? Then how are you supposed to apply the philosophy? What does it mean? Right? Krishna is the male. He's superior. He's God. Right? Anything other than him is not God. Right? That's energy. That's feminine. It's junior to him. It's just the way it is. Right? But how does he deal with his energy? Tough? Cool? No. Nice. That makes sense? So then, but does anybody catch that? No. So if you can't catch that, and that embodies all the rasas, you know, then how are we going to preach? If we can keep it to an intellectual forum, we do great. You know, it's like that, because Prabhupada has trained the devotees to use your intelligence, be you know, logical, be clever. You know, so devotees who have are practiced that do great. You know, it's like we can load them on the boat like anything. Unfortunately, we don't notice that they're, you know, where they're falling off the other side of the boat back into the water. Right? Because no one bothered to tell them, hey, you can go below deck. You know, you got a room. You know, there's a place to stay. Does that make sense? We're so busy just loading them on, which is important. But that's only one aspect of Krishna. Right? Chaitanya means that's the energy. That's the driving force. That's the attraction. So the preaching mission is the thing, but Vishwambar means he's nourishing. Right? And Gaura means that he is Gaura, Govinda Radha, right? That's what Gaura means. So he's tasting that relationship of the Lord's pastimes. So that means he preaches to others, associates with others, amongst those who are close, and there's cultivation and there's intimacy on dealing in the higher realms of devotional service, and personally then however much is their own personal realization. So do we see? So does that make sense? So all three are there. But we only work at the first one. But if you don't do the other two, then you're just eternally going to have new devotees, that's all. And the old devotees, you won't see. Because the old devotees means the second two have to be happening, because they're already doing the first, they're practiced at it, they can do it. So how are you going to engage the body, mind, and words? Okay, in doing the preaching, but the point is do we eternally just do that, or is there something more? Right? We have a hospital. We're taking people in the emergency ward. We're getting them out of the emergency situation. That's good enough. We never train them how to behave so they don't end up in the emergency room. There's no follow-up. You know, there's trauma. We don't deal with that trauma. You know, you have a bad accident, there's trauma. Trauma will get you later. You may get through it now, you're happy, you're not dead. Right? But later on, there's a problem. So, that trauma is dealt with in the element of Vishwambar. And you're only going to keep motivated going somewhere. I'm preaching just so that we can get people to preach. Okay, that's nice. But the point is what's the ultimate goal of the preaching? Right? Krishna doesn't preach as such. You ask him something, he'll talk. Right? He's driving the chariot, and he's doing a great job. And he's not talking any philosophy, right? First chapter, any philosophies happening? Right? A few snide comments are there. You know, yes, let's go out in the middle. You can see who's come today. Yes, who's come to fight. Yeah. Check it out. Hey, you know. Everybody that's very important to you is sitting there on that side. You know, it's a problem, you know, like that. Yeah, hey, let's go look. You know. But other than that, is there anything said? No. Only when Arjuna asks, then Krishna speaks. That's the way Krishna works. Right? Does that make sense? Because that is probably the single most important masculine, feminine, fundamental rule. If you know that, you can make all the other rules work. You don't know that, then, you know, basically by hit and miss, you might get a few to work. Right? Does that make sense? God's in control, but he works in the realm of the energy. So that's the point. That's why the preaching doesn't work that you're talking about. Is because we're taking the position of authority, that means, but we have to function in the realm of who it is you want to give that knowledge to. So it's we're here and we want to do it like that, so it stays atmarama. So therefore there's no rasa, therefore no relation, no they can't relate. It's impersonal. Right? Think about God, he can meditate on himself and be absorbed in himself, and he's still personal. You know, like that. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes.
Is there any difference between what penance, austerity, and sacrifice?
Penance, austerity, and sacrifice. Sacrifice. Yes and no. Sacrifice is an offering. I say the penance also is an activity. It means all this austerity, you could say, is you could possibly maybe say it's more the mentality. Because even if one doesn't have an austere mentality, you could do penance because the benefits you get from it are strong enough for you that you could do. But austerity basically means it's more a manifestation of a mentality, and sacrifice also, it's an activity, but I guess they would all be. You can probably take penance as sambandha, sacrifices, abhideya, and austerity as prayojana. You know, so there would be three aspects of the same thing. In other words, there is a restrictive element that is being applied for betterment. Okay? Either personal or for others. Does that make sense? That makes sense. Okay. Anything else on this?
Earlier in the class, you mentioned that Krishna writes the scriptures and he also follows them. But we see in his Vrindavan pastimes that he doesn't follow them.
He doesn't follow them.
People question it, you know, how come God says that we have to control our senses and we're not steal or not have girlfriends, but he does. So how do we explain
that? Well, he's male, he can do what he likes. The problem is we're female, so you can't do that. So you can't compare them, technically. Because there means they have, rules are there, but they're more subtle in that the external form is not important. Vaikuntha, because Krishna is God, that's why he's worshipped. Vrindavan, they couldn't care. He can be God, he can not be God. Who cares? You know, he wants to be God in his spare time. What do we care? You know? But it's like, we just like him as a person. He's the nicest person. You know what I'm saying? So still, they follow elements of the social thing. But there you're getting, I mean, it's the closest to home. So you have the element is that, therefore, to get the fullest taste of rasa, then the element of sarvagya basically has to be moved as far away as possible. Right? And the farther away you get from Vrindavan, the more sarvagya is prominent and mukdatta is less. So the whole point is even though he's God, just to not act like he is at all. So it'll be used. The mystical aspect will be used if it enhances relationships. You know, it's just like he can be looking at and smiling at all the residents of Vrindavan and the Govardhan Hill at the same time. You know, or, you know, he can be there and, a moment of surprise and, pleasant surprise, he can suddenly expand and kiss all the gopis at once. So it's only for, but he still is doing it in a human way. He doesn't do it in a outside, that means it's raining. So when it rains, you hold up an umbrella. So he picks up an umbrella. It's just a very big umbrella. Right? You know what I'm saying? So, and it's not that he just has it hovering there and they're all doing their thing. He holds it because you have to hold an umbrella. It doesn't just stay there itself. You know what I'm saying? So he does the things, but he still does it with the human element because that gives more taste. Like that. With the demons, then you generally see he uses more mystic and this and that and so many things because otherwise they're not impressed. But, you know, the gopis, they don't care about the mystic stuff. You know, as soon as that comes in, it's kind of like, well, who's this guy? You know, and then it kind of like ruins it. Because if you want to be intimate, there has to be a sense of control. And control can only be there if there's trust. Right? So that control then means that they're the full expression of the relationship because they never go outside of what's bona fide for the relationship, therefore you have rasa bas. So you can't say that it's not following the rules because we're saying there's principles on which these rules are done. So if the mood is spontaneous, then the principle is more important. I mean, it's always important, but I mean, that's all the more you really have to manifest. The external isn't as important. No, external is there, but it's not what's noted. In the Vaidhi, then the external is very important as the medium. Because of the rules and regulations, it takes on a flavor that is important. Does that make sense? So, yeah. So they don't worry about these things. So what would just be natural human relations, that's all they deal on. The God element just doesn't come into it. They know he's God. They know who he is. But it's like, who cares? You know, it's like when he's dealing badly, then the gopis will complain. It's like, you know, this is very typical of you. You have no idea how to deal properly with women. You know, it's just look at what you did to Suparnika. You know, they don't say, you and your incarnation as Ramachandra, then, you know, to defend the honor of your wife and to maintain the principle of, one man, one wife, and all these, like, nice things. You know, they didn't say, therefore you did this, but, you know, maybe you could have considered another way. They just go, you don't know. You know, he says, Ramachandra, you cut off her nose. You know, it's just a lady coming to you, surrender to you, you cut off her nose. He says, so what do you know about dealing? That makes sense. So then it's a whole different point. But because it's been done off of something else, you've used it in another way, even though it looks like it's a criticism, is actually an element of chala, which means reinterpreting a word, giving it a different meaning. And so, in other words, you're goofing off of double meanings. Right? Does that make sense? But it's just a very clever way of doing it. Like that. Because, you know, and this is coming from the gopis, and women are supposed to be four times more clever. So, like that. So, they don't use their cleverness to please Krishna then. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes.
Long put for same thing. This one. Shloka, I don't know where it's from. It says, Varanam Parakshavadoham, Parakshavaramamapriyam. It says that I am out of the instructions which has double meaning, I am the one which has double meaning.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah, Krishna says that, you know, of course, those things that means the double, the word that has many meanings, he is those words, not the ones that have just. In other words, it would appear that from that, Krishna doesn't enter into German. Because it's exact, you know, they got a little word this long that means the knob on the right side door, you know, in the car, you know, it's not, you know. Okay.
So for something also that it can be that something which is looks like not right in one way, but is right in other way. So that basically the Krishna's technique that Krishna tells also Arjuna to kill with Ashwatthama, but also tell him not to kill him. So it's like these kind of things he's obviously very explained, very much.
Because Krishna means all contradictions are reconciled. Because he's the origin. Does that make sense? It's on that?
Yes, on what he said.
Yeah.
That's
what it means here.
That's what it means when it's two meanings.
Dual compound.
Dual compound. Actually, that one is different. That's a particular one where you have same two words and same power in the same compound. For example, you have Krishna and Arjuna. That's a dual compound. The two of them, both of them, are same power. That particular.
Okay. So then, if the same power means they're equal, equals can have a relationship. So therefore, relationship can happen in a dual compound. You know what I'm saying? So that's because you always have to see is that relationship is what's important to Krishna. So everything's always going to come back to that.
Because in English, compound word might be dog house.
Yes, but then there's dog and a house. Okay. They go together. There's a relationship.
But this particular case, dog house, for example, is the house of the dog. So then the house is subordinate to the dog.
Yeah, but in Sanskrit it's not
compound,
like
that. In that particular compound, I have Krishna and Arjuna, then that particular compound, both of them have the same power. One is not subordinate to the other one. That's basically the special in that compound. Every other compound is subordinate. One is subordinate. One is adjective subordinate to the noun, then a possessive to the possessed, and like that. So like this, there are different kinds of compounds. All of one is subordinate to the other one. Only the dvanda which is not.
Dvanda.
Everything.
Because you're saying dvanda is what?
Dvanda samasika. It says that because that particular one, both of them are same, equal strength. Both of them are same, equal position.
So that would also indicate what that element of that sameness is important. Because, does that make some sense? It's like means because your adi rasa, then the element is that oneness, that sameness. Right? And parental rasa drops out of that. And it goes back together, friendship. You know, then it drops out and then it goes back. You know, so it's. Does that make some sense? In Sanskrit, you have single, dual, and plural. Right? Single, it means English you have single and plural. But if there's two, it's still plural. But in Sanskrit, it's separate. Because you have two entities, then that will have a special relationship of just the two. Well, if it's plural, it changes the relationship. Right? So this element of dual is special in that you find that in the Sanskrit that you won't get in English. So there, the dual compound is the element because it's two. It's not a plural compound, it's a dual. It means that there's two equal living entities, so therefore that relationship can happen. Because you can't have a relationship if there's not something in common. Right? So it's just like Drona, then when Drona? Yeah. When Drona went to Drupad, then he said, we were friends together in the Gurukul. So he was taking that as the equal point. We both were, you know, God brothers in the Gurukul. Therefore, we have a common platform to be friends from. But Drupad somehow or another had become influenced by his position and power. And so he just saw, he's just a simple, poor Brahmin. I'm a fabulously wealthy and powerful Kshatriya. So he didn't see that there was common ground. So he said, how can we be friends? Right? So, because that's an important element. I think that's one of the four things in the teachings in the Hitopadesha is how to identify what's equal so you know your friends. Like that. Does that make some sense? So that's the thing, is many of these things they're more difficult to access because we don't know Sanskrit. Probably the mention of academic subjects means of mundane knowledge, Sanskrit was the most important. Like that. Because from that you know language. Then you can actually understand what English is supposed to be doing. Because otherwise, what Krishna Prabhupada says in his English, we cannot necessarily glean the whole thing. It means that, of course, you can unlimitedly glean, but there's an aspect of it will be hard for us to glean because language actually doesn't mean anything to us. Right? We communicate, but we don't use language. Because language is a science. Like that. While English is an art. So art's important, but without the science, then there's certain things you don't, you know what I'm saying? You can use Sanskrit grammar to actually define and establish logic and philosophy. Right? It's like math. You know, you can use math to exactly delineate. So the grammar, you can do exactly the same thing. English, you can't. You know, you have your I before E except after C. Okay, great. But how can that be applied philosophically or culturally or nothing? It doesn't have anything. Because only I before E except after C is only there because the language, you know, is, it means that there's been so many fathers, you know, in this family that the child, how you say, doesn't really have some clear identity. So you have all these spellings from so many other languages that don't make sense in the colloquial application. You know? You have Philippe, right? Double P with an E at the end. Right? But then after Philippe, kind of Philip. So then you drop the P and the E at the end. You know, so it's just, it's... Does that make any sense? So that's the thing. That's why Prabhupada would push Sanskrit so much before. You know, that's why he had us do, read the word for word, do all these things. Because the idea is we would pick up and start to actually imbibe. Because all we need is the fundamentals of it. You don't have to know so much of it. It's just that we know technically how language functions. And if we can relate that to English, then what we can express and derive from English is much greater. It becomes a much more useful tool. Right? Because as is now, it's not functioning as completely as it could. Simply because those who are using it don't know what they're doing with it. Does that make sense? Okay, I guess we should end now. Jai Ho. Yeah, that was just to sum up the point is what Krishna says, penance is my heart and soul, therefore penance and I are non-different. So we would appreciate that, but unfortunately... typical father. Okay. Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nidhai Gaura Prema.